So we're on Daf Vav Amud Aleph Iboiluhu, which is about let's say 12 lines down from the top, maybe 15 lines down from the top. Do we have it? Okay, so we're going back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that any carbon that was shechted shelo lishma is kosher, but it's not meratzah and lo olu lebayelu shekov iboiluhu. The Gemara has a suffix. Kipru al mashebo olo kipru. The Mishnah establishes that the carbon is kosher, and they're going to go ahead and continue with all the avodos. The logical premise should be that this carbon is mechaper. Every carbon should generate some sort of a kapara. And if we're telling, and if the Mishnah is teaching us that despite the fact that it was shelo lishma, the carbon is still kosher, then it should be mechaper. The only question is, if the Gemara has a tzad to say that the carbon is mechaper, so what does it mean shelo olu lebayil l'shem chovin, they have to replace it with the second carbon that will be lishma? If the bayil already achieved kapara through the first carbon, why would they have to bring a second carbon? So that's going to have to be clarified. Olo kipru, or should we say that the bialim did not achieve kapara, and that explains certainly why they have to replace the carbon with a second one. He has a footnote here in the Masifta Nobi Yudalit. He says afshe benkach eino yotzi dechovaso bekarbon zera. In other words, what's the relevancy here of this suffix? The Gemara is vacillating back and forth. If he achieves kapara through the first carbon that was brought shelo lishma, in any event, he's going to have to bring, the Mishnah establishes, a second carbon. So what difference does it make? This seems like a total theoretical question. It's all in the abstract conceptual worlds. But practically, he'll achieve kapara either through the first carbon or the second carbon. And he suggests here an answer, which is very fascinating, in the name of Rashi, that the question that the Gemara is raising here is, what's the status of the person vis-a-vis Shamayim between the first carbon and the second carbon? Let's say a week goes by until he brings his replacement carbon. What is he? Is he vulnerable to punishment during that week? If you assume that the first carbon was mechaper, but for some reason he still has to replace it with a second carbon, then he's protected from any yisurim, any chas v'shalom divine punishments that could come on it. But if you're saying that there was no kapar until he brought the second carbon, then as far as the week between the first carbon and the second carbon, he's really exposed to danger. Yeah, he better take extra care when he walks down the streets.
You can say that about the period of time from the time he sins until he brings the first carbon. You can say,
that for sure. Then for sure. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu might say to him like this: look, right now you're in a very precarious situation because you violated an avera. Bring the carbon, and that's going to protect you against the surin and the punishment. He brought a carbon; it was shelo lishma. Now the Gemara wants to know: since the Mishnah paskins that in a shelo lishma situation you have to replace it, well, is he now back to square one? Well, that depends. If the first carbon was mechaper, no, he's achieved a great deal through that first carbon. He's already protected. There's a separate chovas gavra for him to bring a second carbon. But if on the other hand we're saying that the first carbon, as far as kapara, is meaningless, then he's in a very precarious situation, which is, as Michael points out very well, is identical to the situation that he was, the precarious predicament he was in before he brought the first carbon.
And anyway, it's an onus, isn't it? Not his fault.
Oh, that's another question. Okay, you're asking all the good questions here, but we'd have to go through tons of footnotes here. So let's just make some progress, and then maybe if we have time, we'll come back to that. And if not, stay tuned for my 11:45 sheet. Okay. By the way, tomorrow I have to be a little bit late. If anyone's marking it down on his calendar, tomorrow my shiur will start at about 12:15. So it'll be an hour shiur till noon.
In the second one.
The second one. You know, it's the 11. And this year is always till 12:15. No, I'm just joking. Okay. Now here the girsa should read Amar Rav Shisha. Freider of Idi, Mistavra Delo Kipro. It makes more sense, and this is what we thought intuitively, that the first carbon, since it has to be replaced, is not Mechaper. De Isal Kedaik Shekipro, if through the first carbon he achieved his Kapara, Sheni Lomahu Ba. Why does he need the second carbon? So at this point, Rav Shisha is remarking that it seems clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that he needs the second carbon because the first carbon did not achieve its goal and he wasn't mechaper. So the Gemara says, "Vela mai lo kipro." So the Gemara says that if you're telling me that the first carbon was not mechaper, you see, we never discussed the following question: what was moving the Gemara in its original suffix to say that the first carbon was mechaper? After all, he's got to replace it, so that seems simple. That if he has to replace it, then the first carbon was meaningless. But the answer is that you can't say that the first carbon was meaningless, because if that be the case, why are you bringing the carbon?
Okay, the Mishnah says that's not valid.
It says it's
not valid for a chova.
For the chova.
So now we're trying to decide what it means by not his chova. Is that
right? Now we're trying to figure out that if he's not yotzei his chova, does that mean ipso facto that he wasn't mechaper with the first carbon? If he wasn't mechaper the first carbon, the Gemara is perplexed. Why are you bringing this carbon? The truth is that we already had a question like this in the past. Reish Lakish once asked this question. That why you bring a carbon that has no kapara power? And we went through a whole sugya that maybe there's such a thing as a carbon without kapara. If you remember Mesu Bailov, if the owner of the carbon dies, we're going to still bring the carbon lachar moso, and the Gemara thinks that that's not mechaper, till the Gemara comes up with the possibility that maybe it's mechaper for the yarshim. But this Gemara is, to some extent, at least at the surface level, is a repeat performance. Why you bring a carbon that has no kapara? Again, there is such a thing as a carbon without a kapara. That's called an ola, let's say. It might be what's called a dorum. You know, it's brought just to come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam and bring a gift, kaviyochol. But as a general rule, especially when talking about other karbonos, the purpose of which is to be mechaper, why would you go ahead and bring that carbon? And again, keep in mind, Rabbi Osei, that when we bring the carbon in our Mishnah, it means we bring the carbon according to all the rules of the original Hakdasha. We're not shifting the carbon. This is not what you call an Akira. Sometimes you may have cases where we'll completely transform the nature of the carbon. It could be that, for example, carbon Pesach might become an Ola in some cases. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the carbon being kosher, and it's the identical carbon with all the dinim hakrova of the first carbon. So the Gemara is perplexed. Why are you going to go ahead and bring that first carbon, you know, continue the process from, you know, Kabbalah Saddam to Zrika Saddam, if it's not mechaper? So what's the point to bring the first? So therefore the Gemara thinks, on the other hand, that must be that there is a kapara through the first carbon. No, if there is a kapara through the first carbon, that's why you're going ahead and following through. So why you bother bringing the second carbon?
So there can't be. Then there can't be a kapara in the first one, can there?
Well, let's see the next line of the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara is going to now come to some final conclusion. Omer Rav Ashi, Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Hocha Kokashale. In other words, how can you possibly say, this is what bothered Rav Shisha, that the first carbon is mechaper? I can understand why we're bringing a replacement carbon if the first carbon wasn't mechaper, but if the first carbon was mechaper, Iyamet Bishlema Lo Kipro, if you're going to argue that since the first carbon was brought Shalom Lishma and the Mishnah requires that he replace it with the second carbon, it means the first carbon did not achieve its goal of Kapara. And why is that? Because the carbon was Shechted Shalom Lishma, is then, if it's not Mechaper, then Afilu Eino Mechaper, Mikomakom Hu Karev, let's say, you're going to ask me now, why do we follow through with the carbon, right, with all the avodos of the carbon? Again, it makes sense to say, says Rav Shisha, that it wasn't mechaper, and therefore the Mishnah is requiring replacement carbon. But then why are you going ahead and step by step bringing the carbon, the first carbon? What purpose does the first carbon have? Is mikach lishmo ka'asi. What does this mean? Lishmo mikach lishmo kaasi. Whatever it means, which we'll get to in just a minute, the thrust of what Rav Shisha is saying is that there's no question that the first karbon did not achieve its goal of kapara, and that's the only way I can justify, in Rav Shisha's understanding, bringing the second karbon. It must be that the second karbon has to replace the first karbon to bring the kapara. But nevertheless, you'll ask me, well, so if that be the case, why are they being makriv the first karbon? You know, why not just freeze it here and throw it out? So the Gemara's answer to that question is mikach lishmo kaasi. Okay, this is a new conceptual breakthrough that we've never had. And what does that mean? That we look at the karbon and we ask, does it have kedushas karbon? I'm going to try to take a stab at this. This is going to be my own interpretation. So, be'eravon mugbal, as we say, with limited liability. I think what the Gemara means to say is that there are two issues that we have to ask. One issue is, as far as the balak korban is concerned, has he achieved and fulfilled his purpose and his responsibility? The second question we have to ask is, what about the korban itself? Is it possible? Is it kosher? And what the Gemara is postulating now with these words, mikach lishmo kaasi, is that those two issues are independent, one or the other. You might come to the conclusion that on the one hand, the bailim have to bring a second karbon. They haven't fulfilled their responsibility through this first karbon, and so far it was shelo lishmo. But yet, if you ask the second question, what about the karbon itself? You know, the inherent status of the karbon. The answer is that the karbon itself might be kosher. That's already an issue about the status of the karbon. And if the karbon is kosher, then we have to be makriv it because of the kedushas karbon. There's the sanctity of the karbon, and its status requires a hakrova. Now, I'm not sure who's obligated in that hakrova. It seems to me that we might say the following, that the bailim themselves that were magdish this karbon are out of the picture at this point. Why? Because mimanafshach. If you're going to tell me that the first karbon has to be nikrav because the bailim have to fulfill their responsibility, then they must achieve kapara. Now we're saying they don't achieve kapara through the first karbon. And if you're going to tell me that the bailim fulfill their responsibilities through the second karbon, so then what's the din that's inherent in the karbon, the first karbon, that requires hakrova? Who's responsible for that hakrova? And it seems to me that the Gemara is saying that mikach lishmo kaasi, that since initially, lechatchila, they were magdish the karbon for the sake of its being brought lishmo, that kedushas karbon continues to exist and reside in the karbon itself, even though the shelo lishma is going to mess up the chiyuv and the kapara for the bala karbon. So it's interesting, the Gemara is now postulating through this svar called mikach lishmo kaasi, that any karbon that was originally sanctified in a valid way, that karbon must be brought as long as it's valid. In other words, as long as it's kosher, if it's not possible, it has to be brought. Regardless of the responsibility of the bala karbon who was mafresh the karbon. The bala karbon, in a certain sense, again, this is Berzon talking, no one else is talking, so it might be very wrong what I'm telling you, but I think what the Gemara is saying is that the bailim is out of the picture at this point. You might ask, so who has to bring the karbon? Like, who's responsible to bring a karbon, the makar of a karbon, when there's no personal responsibility incumbent upon the individual who is magdish the karbon? And I would say maybe it's a chiyuv on the kohanim, maybe it's a chiyuv on bezdin, I don't know exactly. Maybe it's a tzibur kind of obligation, but there's some responsibility. So let's just go on in the Gemara and see if we can flesh out the whole picture. The Gemara says, v'sheni lama hu ba. Now I understand very well why the second karbon has to be brought. Because again, as far as the first karbon is concerned, that's a chiyuv inherent in the karbon because it's mikoach lishmo kaasi. But as far as the bailim is concerned, he desperately needs which karbon?
Second.
The second karbon. So therefore, sheni lama hu ba. I can answer the question, why I need the second karbon? And that's lechaper. Eli Amrit, if you're going to tell me, Kipro, that the first karma was Mechaper, which means that now the first karma achieves two goals. Number one, achieves the goal that the karma is being brought, so we, as a communal entity, have fulfilled our obligation. But in addition, the original Bialim achieved their goal, because they wanted to bring this karma for Kapar, and that's what they did. Is then Asheni Lama Uba? So the final conclusion is that there's no way of justifying the second karma unless you assume that at least as far as the responsibility incumbent upon the Bialim, they have not fulfilled that responsibility by bringing the first karma, but that the first karma is meaningful and has to be brought on the Mizbeach as a result of Mikoach Lishmo Ka'asi. But once the Shalom Lishma steps in, it removes the Bialim from the picture, and now the Bialim desperately need the second karma. And to be honest with you, I think what the Gemara is talking about here is Hilchas Nedarim. I don't know if we discussed this. I think I discussed it maybe in my later shiur. That when a Bailim, when I come along and I magdish a karban, that also comes under the parsha of Nedarim. That's a personal pledge and an obligation that I commit myself to bring the karban. And in order to achieve and fulfill that obligation, I have to achieve kapara. The kapara is my litmus test as to whether or not I fulfilled my chiyuv. Now what we're saying is, and that's Rav Shisha's argument, if you're going to tell me that the Bialim already fulfilled their chiyuv and they achieved the kapara through the first karbon, why would we bring a second karbon? And the second karbon is going to require a new Maisa HaKdasha. We're going to have to start from square zero. But if on the other hand you're going to tell me that the Bailim, as far as the first carbon, are out of the picture because they in fact have to bring a second carbon to fulfill their obligation, so what's the purpose of bringing the first carbon? That's called Mikoach Lishma Ka'asi. That as far as the original Hakdosh is concerned, that Hakdosh goes beyond just Hilchas Nedarim. It's not only a personal obligation, a pledge on the Bailim, but now the carbon itself inherently becomes obligated, so to speak, in hakrav. What do you mean obligated? The animal is not obligated in anything. You know, we don't find anything even there incumbent on an animal. Even the shor niskal is probably just a punishment for the owner of the shor for not watching the shor. But what we mean to say is that as far as a carbon is concerned, we, again, I don't know who the we is, maybe the we is the community, maybe the we is the bezdin, maybe the we is the kohanim, somebody has to bring that carbon because the carbon itself generates its own inherent chiyuv. And there's no particular bialim that we can hold responsible for that chiyuv. So this reminds me a little bit of what we discussed back on Daf Beis. If you remember on Daf Beis, we were trying to figure out why Shalo Lishma in Kodshim does not invalidate the Karban, the opening line in the Mishnah, with the two exceptions of Chatas and Pesach. Whereas in Get, we said that you must have a Lishma, and if it's Shalo Lishma, the Get is worthless. So the Gemara answers that in the case of Isha L'Gerishin, Stam Isha Lav L'Shem Gerishin Omedis. But in the case of Kodshim, it's L'Shem Kodesh who Omed, meaning it's designated for the purpose of a Kapara. So the Keren Orah says that's because the Kohenim went ahead and they did the Avoda Behechsha. But we could say a different interpretation. That, you remember, we discussed that the two elements, when a person is Magdash or Karban, one element is his personal neder and his commitment, the other element is now Lakdasha and the Lishma in the Karban itself, Begufo. And the Gemara is saying that at least as far as Hechshar HaKarban is concerned, since the Karban itself now has been Mukdash Lishma, and therefore there's a Kedusha in the Karban, which is Kedusha's Karban that requires Hakrava, therefore the Kohanim don't have to think Lishma. We don't require that they have this Kavanah Lishma. If they come along and they say, well, it's L'shem a different Zevach, then they're going to remove the Chovas HaBailim. Because the Bialim have to bring a carbon that could be considered Lishma, but the carbon itself is omed to Lishma. Okay. Ibailu, then now we get to the second question. Okay, we're talking now about a carbon ola. And I think we've mentioned in the past, and if not, it pays to clarify this, that there's a fundamental difference between a chatos and an ola in the following sense. A chatos is mechaper on a lotase. An ola doesn't have the power to be mechaper on a lotase, but on what? On an essay. In fact, we'll soon see that an ola has a special power to be mechaper on many essen. On many, let's say he didn't take a lulav, and he didn't eat a matzah, and he didn't bring his carbon pez. You know, you could bring one carbon ola, and it's mechaper in a general sense on all esim. So the Gemara wants to know, when did he violate these esim? Or let's flip it around. When did he designate the carbon as an ola? Was it before the essay or after the essay? And the Gemara is saying that perhaps there's some magical power in an ola that even if he omits the fulfillment of an essay, he was derelict, after the hafrasha, after he designated the karban, he hasn't yet brought the karban on the mizbeach. So during this interim period, between time T1 and time T2, time T1 is the time of the hakdasha, and time T2 is the time of, let's call it the Zrikas Adam, when the full kapar is achieved. If he violated an essay in between, can the carbon, this carbonola, magically be mechaper, even though at the time of the Akdosh he hadn't omitted this essay? So for example, in the period between Sukkot and Pesach, he was mafrish a carbonola, and the ola has to be mechaper on the fact that he didn't take the dalad minim on Sukkos. And again, you have to know what kind of an essay is it. Is it a shogeg? Is it an ones? Let's say he didn't have dalad minim. You know, those are all questions that have to be addressed. And now, he's bringing the carbon after Pesach. And what didn't he do on Pesach? He didn't eat his matzah, right? So now we have two essay. We have the essay of non-fulfillment of lulav, and now the essay of non-fulfillment of matzah. The only problem is that when he was mafresh the carbon chanukah time, he had not yet omitted the essay of matzah. So that's called an essay duli achar hafrosha. Now, Rabbo said, what we're going to soon see is that really it's there. I misled you, I oversimplified it. It's not just time T1 and time T2. It's really T1, T2, and T3. Why? Because there's the Hafrosha, there's the Shechita, and then there's the Zrika. And it could be that Shechita plays an important role, and maybe violations between Hafrosha and Shechita could be covered by the Shechita. But violations between the Afrasha, the Shechita, and the Zrika, between T2 and T3, would not be covered by this karma. I'm just giving you a preview of coming attractions. Me, Amri, and should we say, now the Gemara analyzes both studim. Me, the Avia Chatos. The law of Chatos is that Chatos can only be Mechaper on an Avera that was committed prior to the Afrasha. Before time T1, he had relations with a needle, let's say. So he's chayav, if he did it for shogeg, he's chayav a karbon chatos. But let's say he was mafresh the karbon chatos, and now he violates a shogeg, a shgaga of a chiv kares, that chatos could not, he's going to have to bring a second chatos. So ma chatos, let's compare ola to chatos. In the case of chatos, that's our paradigm. De kodem afrosha in, de liachra afrosha lo, you cannot achieve any kapar through chatos for an avera that was after afrosha, only for an avera before afrosha. Afrosha here too by what? By ola. Nami will say the same thing. De kodem afrosha in, liachra afrosha lo. The ola has the power of kapar for an essay before afrosha, but not an essay after afrosha. Oh, Dilma, now what was the second side? What was this magic that all of a sudden an ola, as opposed to the paradigm of a chatos, could be mechaper even after afrosha, on a non-fulfillment of an essay after afrosha? Lo damyo lechatos. Why? De chatos al kol chet v'chet boy lasuye chad chatos. On every single sin he has to bring a chatos. He cannot kill many birds with one chatos. But here, with regard to a carbon ola, kevan de'ika kama esei gabe, even if there were many omissions of a fulfillment of esin, various essays in the plural, machapra, an essay has the advantage of killing many birds with one stone. Is therefore essay to liachar afrosh nami mechaper. Perhaps the essay could the carbon ola has such a power of kapara that he can mechaper even for an essay that was omitted after the hafrosha. Now, keep in mind, the Gemara never has any doubt that in the case of chatos, it cannot be mechaper on a chet that was committed after the hafrosha. Now, also the Gemara understands as a simple, straightforward assumption that a chatos can only be mechaper on one chet, not on multiple chets. Chatoim. I'm a little perplexed because, if I'm not mistaken, if he violated the same Avera multiple times, he could bring one Chatos. So let's say, for example, a person did not realize that you're not allowed to eat Chalef. He was uneducated. And he went ahead and he ate Chalef. Then somebody brought him some more Chalef, and he ate more Chalef, and more Chalef. He could bring one Chatos for all of them. But if he ate Chalef, and then he ate Dam, which is a separate Aver, he's going to have to bring a separate Chatos, that's called Averis Machalkos, and he has a Chiluki, he's got to bring a separate Chatos for both. I'm tempted to think that when the Gemara says that a Chatos has to come on called Chet V'Chet, it means on every category of a Chet. You could, in fact, bring one chatos and kill many stones, many birds with one stone. But it would have to be the same bird, you know, the same species of a bird. There's only one stone, so it's okay. Toshma, the Gemara thinks that I have an answer to your question in the negative from a Braisa. What does the Braisa tell us? In Parshas Ola, at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, it says V'samach. I'll read the whole pasuk. V'samach yodo al rosh ha'ola. And then the Torah says V'nirtza lo l'chaper ola. So we require smicha in a carbon ola. The owner, the bailin, have to lean over full fledged with two hands on the animal's head and recite vidui. So the Braisa asks, V'chi smicha mechaperes? You know, on the one hand, the Torah opens up this pasuk by saying v'samach, and then it closes the pasuk by saying l'chaper olav. And this confuses the Braisa, how to understand these psukim, because we know that there's one avoda that's mechaper, and it's not smicha. Smicha is not an avoda at all. It's a very good thing to have, especially if you're applying for a rabbinic position. But but it's not an avoda. What is the key avoda that generates kapar, everybody? Srikas Adam. We've said it 1,000 times. But here we see it explicitly in the Gemara. The Gemara says, V'chismicha mechaperes. What does the Pasuk have in mind? Halo ein kapar el b'dam? Shenemar ki adam hu b'nefesh yechaper. The Ramban writes a whole philosophical treatise on this Pasuk in his commentary on the Torah that really when a person brings a carbon, he has to imagine himself as if his dam is being spilled because he forfeited his right to live. Elamat Talmud Lomer, so the Braisa goes back and says, so what do we do with the Pasuk of Samach? And then it says, V'nirtza lo l'chaper olo, shim asa l'smicha shiyore mitzvah, ma'ilav v'akosu ki lo kiper v'chiper. Okay, this is a bit complicated. Let's see if we can be mefaneach tzfunos and take this apart. The Gemara is saying the following: that on the one hand, it's true that the avoda, the karban, starts with shechita and ends with zrika, and smicha is just a kind of an embellishment. It's not meikar. It's not critical. It's not part of the critical mass of the Avodah Sakor. But on the other hand, the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu require smicha. That's an obligation.
Is that for every korban? I think it's only for
some korban. Some korbanos, right. For some korbanos. Now we're talking about a korbanola. A korbanola requires smicha.
And it's actually done before the Avodah, right?
Correct. It's before the Avodah. To say his attitude, meaning the Bala Korban, his laid-back attitude towards smicha is called in the Gemara's language, it's just the Talmudic phraseology, shiyare mitzvah. Shiyare mitzvah means he thinks it's an extra addendum. What do you say?
An add-on.
It's a nice thing to do, but he was lazy or whatever it is, so he left out the smicha because of his attitude. So the Torah says, you know what? even though you've achieved the kaparas hakarbon, because the karbon was brought and the zrikas adam was implemented, but nevertheless ki'ilu lo kiper. There are two elements of kapara here. There's one element of kapara that's achieved by the avodas hakarbon, the zrikas adam specifically, and there's another additional element of kapara, which the Gemara is going to clarify a little bit later on what that is. And that's generated by smicha. Okay, fine. That's a very nice price. We have to analyze exactly, you know, in the absence of the smicha, exactly what this add-on kapara he forfeits. But what does it have to do with our discussion? Our discussion was about the possibility of an ola being mechaper for an essay after the afrasha. So Gemara says, my love, you know what this price is talking about? When the Brisa says ki ilu lo kiper v'kiper, it means v'kiper al esei dekodem hafrosha, but lo kiper a esei dismicha. What it means the following: that a person who brings a karbon, in addition to the mitzvah of bringing a carbon, he has another obligation, and that's smicha in the case of an ola. And if he is derelict and he doesn't fulfill smicha, then he's violating an essay. He now needs a carbon ola, paradoxically, for the ola that he brought. Because the ola that he brought was brought with a bittul essay of smicha. And that's what the Brisa means. The Brisa is saying that if you want to suggest that let the Ola kill two birds, let the Ola be mechaper for the fact that he didn't take a lulav on Sukkos, and now let the Ola at the same time, when the Avod is done, be mechaper for the fact that before the Avod started he didn't do smicha, that he can't do. He can't achieve a kapara for the avera of omitting smicha through this carbon ola. If you had asked me, I would have said,
isn't that pshita that he can't?
So the Gemara thinks that the carbon has a certain power of kapara, and the Gemara thinks if the power of the kapara through the zirika is to be mechaper for any non-fulfillments prior to the zrikas adam, then included in that would be the non-fulfillment of smicha. You and I would have said, well, come on, man, you know, the guy wants the mechaper for not doing smicha in the very same karbon that was mechayev him smicha, and he took a laid back attitude and he said, you know, it's like shiari mitzvah. But the Gemara doesn't see it that way. The Gemara sees it hot and cold. The power inherent in the kaparas hakarbon, in this case the zrikas Dama Ola, is to be mechaper for any essay that he violated, including the essay of non-smicha. But the question now is, so then why? If you're telling me that there is such a magic, and that the Ola could be mechaper even for post-Hafrasha Essen, then why can't it be mechaper for smicha? In other words, the Avera here of smicha as a bittul essay took place between the Hafrasha and the Zrikas Adam. And the answer is behavilei essay shliach afrasha, because when did he violate that essay? It was after that afrasha, and there's no power in an ola to be mechaper on an essay that took place after that afrasha. Amar Rava, Rava says, I don't buy into this. He says essay dismicha kamrit. You're telling me that the reason why he's not mechaper for the avera of smicha is because the ola can't be mechaper on an essay lach afrasha? No. Shiny hasam. The case of smicha is different. They're called kamadlo shachid ba'amod usmoch koi. It means that at the time that he starts the avoda, when the kohen starts the avoda, there was never a bittul essay. Now, the Gemara thinks that even if I'll grant you that there is a power of kapara in an ola for an essay after afrasha, but that's only on one condition, that the essay was violated before shchita. That's what I told you before when I gave you a little preview, that now the Gemara is going to introduce time T2 in addition to T1 and T3. Time T2, that middle moment in time, is the time of shchita. One thing the Gemara says I have to guarantee you without a doubt. There must be, in order for the kapara to be achieved, an avera that took place before the shechita. Once the carbon was shechted, It's already in the throes of kapara. You know, the process of kapara is already on its way. You can't now stop and freeze the process of kapara midway and say, well, it's going to be mechaper for an essay. The essay has to have been violated before the shechita. And Rava comes up with a lamdus here. And Rava says, you know when he violates the essay of smicha? At the moment of shechita, not before shechita. Is emas kahavi essay, when does he violate the essay? Liachar shechita. Meaning, up until the moment of shechita, he's required to do smicha. So if you want to pinpoint the actual moment of violating the essay, it's like on Sukkot, when did I violate the essay, chas v'shalom, of lulav? Shkiyas achava, you know, when the day ends, you know, the end of day one, of lekatam lekam yom rishon. When is the point in which smicha is violated? It's clinched, it's no backs. That's at the point of shechita. So up until the shechita, he hasn't violated the essay. Now you and I might say, well, why not say the simultaneous? You know, we have a principle called Gita V'yoda Ban Ka'achas. But the Gemara is not working with that. The Gemara is assuming that at the time that the Kohen HaShochet picks up his chalev in order to shech this animal, at that point there's already been a violation of smicha. Then the karbon could be machaper. But when the Kohen is holding on to the knife, the Bailim is still obligated in what? In smicha. Tili achar shechita, but if the violation is clinched when? After shechita, lo kami boya. I never had a doubt about that. The Ola certainly doesn't have the power to generate any sort of kapara for an avera of a bittul essay that took place and was completed after shechita. And this, by the way, is a very lumdish, a very profound sugya that has to be analyzed, because again, we can always argue that the truth is that at some point in the process, even way before shechita, we're going to call upon the Bailam to do smicha. We're not going to wait until the Kohen is actually ready to slaughter the animal. We'll give him time to correct it, you know, up until, in other words, I'm chayev at the beginning of Amura Shachar or Neitzachamo in the mitzvah of Shachris. We'll give you up to 4 hours to fulfill that mitzvah. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Yehuda L'Rava. Rav Huna, says to Rava, you know, you're interpreting this price of keeper for low keeper as referring to the essay of smicha. The low keeper means he cannot be mechaper for the essay of smicha. Ema, I have a different interpretation. Keeper gavra, that what the Braisa wanted to tell us was that enochinami, as far as the kaparas hagavra, for all chas v'shalom yisurin that should come on him for all the various essays, he was mechaper, even on smicha, because that's the power of the karban. The power of the karban is such that it's mechaper on all essim, even an essay that was violated after hafrasha like smicha. Aye, the Braisa says, excuse me, just one more sentence. Low keeper. What does the Braisa mean when it says low keeper? How could you say A and not A at the same time in the same breath? You're telling me low keeper, but you just told me that the carbon is machaper. So what does it mean, low keeper? So Gemara answers, kame shmaya. What does that mean, kame shmaya? There are various levels of punishment. For example, like down here on earth, you know, there are a set of rules and regulations that govern punishment here. But then there's another set of rules that govern punishment upstairs. That's called for an onesh bidei shamayim. You're familiar with that phrase, right? So for example, this kares is an onesh bidei, this misa bidei shamayim. Let's say, for example, a person... violates chas v'shalom alosaseh, and they give malchus. So down here on earth, he has a complete kapara. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu may know that he was not sincere about his tshuva. So that's a whole different set of rules and regulations. So what the Gemara is saying is that in terms of our business down here and how we paskin, and whether or not he would have to bring a replacement karbon, another ola, for the fact that he didn't do smicha on the previous ola, the answer is he's covered. Because Eino Chinam, the Ola has the power to be mechaper on all essays, even an essay after Afrosha. If you ask me, Klape Shmaya, up in the heavenly divine courts, is he clear? Has he really achieved full kapara? The answer is What kind of kapara is this? The man brings an ola to be machaper, and he refuses to do smicha. I'm not happy with that. Yeah, Michael. So,
I mean, sort of two connected questions. Here we're talking about an ola, but would all we've just said also apply to a chatas? Because I mean, when you bring a chatas,
yeah,
it's for a sin, a specific sin. You're not going to tell me that when you bring that chatas, it's mechape for anything you might
have. Right, for always for a specific sin, or if you repeat the same sin.
But whereas an ola, we're saying it can be mechape for a dozen sins.
Right.
So why would anybody want to be, so you've done a dozen sins,
right,
just bring an ola?
Oh, but again, what kind of sins? We're talking about esim, or we're talking about losas?
Yeah, I'll say.
Oh, so what was your question again?
Well, I
missed your question somehow.
So a chatas is just for one specific sin.
Right, a losas sheyesh bo kares, right?
Ah, right. Whereas an ola is...
For all esim, all non-fulfillment of esim.
You have to bring one ola for...
You can violate 365 esim, and you bring one ola, and you can't cover it all. Actually, there are maches, and I made a mistake. Yeah, okay.
Okay, right. So, and you have to know them all when you bring it.
That's an interesting question. In chatos, you need yedias ha'avera. I'm not sure about ola. I have a suspicion. Again, I haven't seen this anywhere because it's futuristic. That ola might have the power even without yedias ha'avera, I think. But again, if you give me a chance, I'll research that for you, because it hasn't come up yet. Okay, now the Gemara wants to give another example like this one, where although technically your karban was kosher, but nevertheless you didn't do it the right way. And up in Shemayim, they're not so satisfied with you. Milos Nan, don't we have a precedent? This is a Mishnah in Negoim, in Perek Yudalid. This is a parsh that we read just yesterday. And we're talking about Taras HaMitzora. In Parshas Mitzora, there's something called Matan Shemen. As part of the process of purifying the Mitzora, the Kohen has to pour Shemen in two places. The truth is, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but there's going to be a third place that he has to pour the Shemen. But first we'll talk about two places. One is called the Ozen, and the other is called the Bahonos Yad. Okay? Now, when I speak about Bahonos, I'm talking about the thumb. And you'll see the word in the Torah, Bahonos, in plural, because the Shemen has to be put not only on the thumb of his hand, but also on the thumb of his leg, of his foot. I don't know if the word thumb actually...
Big toe.
The big toe. Okay, so I'm going to call it a thumb. If I make that mistake, you'll accept that mistake just for... Okay? So what happened over here? So the Mishnah addresses the following case. The Pasuk says, Vanosar Bashemen Asher Alakaf, that if after the Shemen, there's a certain volume of Shemen, maybe we'll learn about that a little bit later, that had to be poured on the Bahonos and on the Ozen, the Tnuch Ozen, there was still leftover Shemen. So the Torah says, we don't just throw out that Shemen, but rather, HaKohen Yiten Al Rosh HaMetayr L'Chaper Olav L'Fnei Hashem. The surplus Shemen, you get the impression that this is not absolutely required, it's not indispensable, but in event that there was extra Shemen, then it has to be poured over the head of the Mitzora. Now, the Mishnah wants to know what happens if, on the one hand, that was done, and on the other hand, if it wasn't done. So, im nitan, if it was done the way the Torah requires it, kiper. Let's assume that the word kiper means he has a total fulfillment, complete fulfillment of his obligation. But in lo nitan, lo kiper, the Rabbi Akiva maintains that this requirement that the Mosar HaShemen has to be poured on the Rosh is absolutely indispensable. It's critical to fulfilling the mitzvah of Taras HaMitzora. Now, Taras HaMitzora is not just a chova, it's not just the mitzvah, but it also means that it completes his Tara process, such that now he can enter into the Beis HaMikdash, or he can eat kodshim. Up until that time, he's still considered Tomei, and he would violate a very severe Isur, an Isur Karis, if he went into the Mikdash. So Rabbi Kiva says that this pouring of Shemen al Rosho is now becomes absolutely indispensable. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, and it's classic of Machlok Shin Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all of Ashaz, is Shiare Mitzvah Hain. This obligation to pour the extra shemen on the head of the mitayer of the mitzora is only shiari mitzvah. Shiari mitzvah, as we said before, means it's an embellishment of the mitzvah. It's an add-on, as you said, Michael. But it's not ikar kapara. And therefore, bein nitan, bein shalo nitan, kiper. Whether or not, the oil was poured on his head or not, as long as there was the matan bahonos and so forth and so on, then he was mechaper. But Rabbi Yochanan Nuri agrees that he didn't do it the right way, and therefore milin olav ke'ilu lo kiper. So what does that mean, milin olav lo kiper? You just finished saying in the same breath that it's only shiari mitzvah and bein nasan bein lo nasan kiper. So how can you turn around and say ke'ilu lo kiper? My ke'ilu lo kiper, says Gemara, Elam, if you're going to tell me to be boily, suye karbon achrina, he has to replace this karbon, because the karbon has to have the nesinas hashemen as a critical accompaniment. So if you're telling me he didn't fulfill the critical accompaniment, and therefore it's keilu lo chiper, literally he wasn't mitayer himself, then obviously and unquestionably he has to bring a second karbon to replace this. If that be the case, then even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is basically accepting the same identical position as whom?
Akiva.
As Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that he has to replace it with a second karbon, lo nitan lo kiper. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri argues with Rabbi Akiva, and he says, oh, Amrit, didn't he say, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, bein nitan and bein lo nitan kiper? He does achieve kapara. Ella, but rather, this is going to be an example that's parallel to the case of someone who brings a carbonola without smicha. Ela kiper gavra, as far as the tara is concerned, he clinches the tara and the carbon is brought and he fulfills his obligation even without the matnas harosh, even without the pouring it on the head. Lo kiper kaveh shmaya, but up in shemayim he owes them one. He didn't do the mitzvah the way it was meant to be done. Hachanami, here too, in the case of a karbon without smicha, kiper v'chule. Meaning, kiper v'lo kiper means that even though the gavra has achieved kapara on all averis essay, but nevertheless, it's not what we call nachas ruach lekono. So the Gemara rejects it. That's not a parallel case. If you're looking for a precedent for lo kiper kamishmai, and you find it in the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Taras HaMetzora, you haven't convinced me. Why? Hasam, in the case of Taras HaMetzora, Nami, even within the framework of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, kiper matan bahonos, lo kiper matnos harosh. The Gemara now is making a complete revolution and an about face on its very basic premise up until this point. Until now, the assumption was that with regard to kapara and tara, the mitzora has one kapara that he has to achieve. It's like, you know, you're in a race, you have to get to the final line. There are various stages on the way that you have to achieve until you reach the final goal. Now the Gemara is saying, no, there are two parallel tracks over here, two goals. On the one end, there's something called kaparas bahonos. On the other end, there's something called kaparas harosh. And there are two separate obligations. If he wants to be miskaper for one particular kapara, then all he needs is that the shemen is poured on his bahonos. And once the shemen is poured on his bahonos, enochinami, he has achieved that kapara. He still has another obligation of pouring the shemen al rosha. That's also a chiyuv on the mitzora. Let's go back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that it's all one kapara. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's indivisible. And if he didn't do the Shemen al Rosho, then even as far as Matan Bahonos is concerned, he has not fulfilled his obligation. And the replacement carbon is going to have to start from scratch. He's going to have to again redo the matonos even on his bahonos. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri on the other hand says that bahonos is one separate entity unto itself, and he can be mechaper by achieving that goal of matan bahonos independent and regardless of the matonos al rosho. And if inami, as far as matonos al rosho are concerned, lo chiper. So when we saw in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri kiper v'lo kiper, it wasn't that he was mechaper completely. But, you know, up in Shamayim, he didn't bring Nachas Ruach Lekono. No, that's not what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, keeper v'lo keeper, he means, even as far as Kaparas HaGavra is concerned, not Klap Ishmaya, he wasn't complete in his Kapara. In other words, lo keeper in the language of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri means that in one dimension, in other words, vis-a-vis the Kapar al Rosho, lowest Kaper. He doesn't have Kapar Sagavra. In the case of Smicha, there's only one Kapar. And therefore, if he was Makar of his Karma without Smicha, he was Mechaper. And he's Mechaper in Gansin in totality, even as far as the Avera of Smicha is concerned, the non-fulfillment. But he is missing something, Klap Ishmaya. You can't prove that from the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in Mitzora. It's very possible that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would argue that as far as the kapara of smicha, in the case of an ola where there was no smicha, he didn't achieve the kapara of smicha. And now he's going to be punished for smicha. That is not even kapara's gavra as far as smicha is concerned. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says the same thing, that as far as Rosh is concerned, whatever kapara is inherent in matnas or Rosh, that he didn't achieve because that was omitted.
So does he just have to bring more oil, or does he have to bring the carbon as well?
Oh, so that on that there's a long discussion here in the Achronim. If you have a chance to look in the Masifta, I can photocopy for you later if you want, or you can order one on your own. And I promise you wouldn't have wasted a single shekel. I think it's 110 shekel. So there's a whole long footnote here. Number Ches. And he says the following. He says, Re'ebis fas emes, Sherotzel echade, Sheledivre akol, Yefshel loseis matnas harosh b'shemen, Mibli lachzor, without starting from scratch. In other words, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri will admit that he's got to start the process again, just that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri insists that the first carbon that he brought was mechaper. So let's say, for example, he never does the second carbon. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he achieved a partial kapara. I mean, a complete kapara as far as bahonos. That's the opinion of the Sfas Emes. And then he quotes the Keren Ora, who disagrees. So that's something that you may want to research. Toshma, let's go on. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now we get to the case of Kivsei Atzeres. So what's this all about? On Chag HaShavuos, right? Abo Aleinu L'Tova. What do we have? About 5 weeks, right? A little bit less than 5 weeks. So the law is that they have to bring two Seirim. Okay, these are called Seirei Chatos. The Gemara now is not up to Seirei Chatos. The Gemara is going to get to that in just a minute. The Gemara is a little bit confused at this point and mistakenly thinks that we're talking about Kivsei Atzeres. So that on Shavuos, there are two sets of karbonos. One are called kvasim, which are shepsula, sheep, and the other are seirim, which are goats. Okay, and the case of Kivsei Atzeres is a case of a karbon shlomim, whereas the case of the seirim, that's a case of karbon chatos. So Toshma, we learned in a braisa, the braisa says that Reb Shimon Omer Kivsei Atzeres lama hein ba'in. Why do we bring Kivsei Atzeres? This question makes no sense. The Torah commands us to bring Kivsei Atzeres. What do you mean, Lama Hein Boyan? So the Gemara answers right away, even before, you know, the Gemara interjects, or stopping Reb Shimon midway before he gets to even ask his question. Kivsei Atzeres Shlomim Dinhu. You may ask, you know, in a case of a Chatos, what sin was violated that the Tzibur has to bring two Seirim as a Chatos on Chag HaShavuos? That's a valid question. But if you're asking about the Kivsei Atzeres, which is Shlomim, Shlomim is never brought for a chet. Shlomim, again, we're going to have a long discussion about this down the line. That's called a doron. A doron means a gift that's brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the concept of kapara for a chet, that's limited to ola and to chatos and to osham, but has no application to shlomim. And kibsei atzeres are shlomim. By the way, this is very fascinating because the rule of shlomim is that shlomim could only be brought by a yachid, not by a tzibur. The only exception to that rule, to the best of my knowledge, is kibsei atzeres. The only case of a shalmei tzibur. And that's why kibsei atzeres is a gigantic sugya unto itself. But for our purposes, the Gemara is now correcting the mistake, meaning there was a mistake in transmission. We say Reb Shimon never asked, why do you bring kibsei atzeres? What was the chet? Kibsei atzeres is shlomim. It has nothing to do with chet. Ella, but the right text that should read is se'irei chato shel atzeres loma heim boim. In other words, what about the se'irim which are brought for chet? Why are they being brought? What chet would generate the need to bring a chatos? Now, by the way, it's very interesting that there's no one place in the Torah where the Torah tells you to bring two se'irim on Chag HaShavuos. One se'ir is mentioned in Emor, in the parash of Moedos, Vayikra Chav Gimel. The other se'ir is mentioned in Pinchas, in the parasha of Musafim. And in fact, the first Sa'ir, which is mentioned in Parshas Emor, is an accompaniment to the Shtei Alechem. So Mirza Hashem B'li Neder will talk about the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos as we get closer to Shavuos. Remind him to pay up that debt, because the essence of Shavuos is the Shtei Alechem. That's really the pinnacle. Like on Yom Kippur, the essence is the Shnei HaSeirim, the Sa'ir Echad Lashem, the Sa'ir Echad Lazoz, which I'm going to talk about in my Chumash class today, Mirza Hashem. But the essence of Shavuos is the Shtei Alechem. And the Shtei Alechem was accompanied by a Sa'ir. And that Sa'ir was a Sa'ir Lechatos. And then the Torah elsewhere, in Parshas HaMusafim, tells that there's another Sa'ir that's brought. And the Gemara assumes that Sa'ir, even though it's brought within the context of Musafim, that's also on Chet. Because every Karban Chatos, by definition, comes for Chet. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, there are cases of a Chatos that has nothing to do with Chet. Like, for example, a Nazir has to bring a Chatos. And what else do we have? What? Your lettuce is a question that, but the Gemara has classically two cases. Okay, I forgot which one they are. I'm forgetting the second one. It's at the tip of my tongue.
I thought, in fact, the chatos for the nozer is because of something.
That's already I got it. But in halacha, it's not a chatos al shem chet. It really is more like an ola. And therefore, it could be that if someone shechs a chatos l'shem chatos nazir, well, maybe as Tzvi Seyla says l'shem chatos yoledes, but that's not the classical case. Then it could be the carbon is kosher, even though in chatos shelo l'shma it's possible, but here it's l'shem ola, might have a whole different din. Okay, that's not for us now. Ela, so the Gemara says, what was Reb Shimon's question here? Se'irei atzeres lomein boyim, and the Gemara's answer is al tumas migdash v'kadoshav, which means if a person accidentally went into the Beis HaMikdash when he was tomei, or he ate kodshim when he was tomei, that's where this karbon is mechaper. Now watch what's going on here. We're talking about two different se'irim. So why bring two se'irim? If the first sa'ir shouldn't be enough, then the second sa'ir won't be enough. I'm just joking. What I mean is that one sa'ir should be enough. Unless maybe there was an avera that took place between the first sa'ir and the second sa'ir.
These are communal ones, yes.
What do you say?
These are communal ones.
Right. So we're being mechaper for all of Klal Yisrael in case somebody went into the Migdash or ate kodshim when he was tamei inadvertently, and maybe we want to have a second chatos on Yom Atzeres on Chag HaShavuos, in case after the first one there was another avera. So we see that you can have an avera that's subsequent. Again, this all assumes the Gemara right now is predicated on the assumption that they were mafrish both se'irim simultaneously right before the chag. They designated two goats for the se'irei atzeres. But they were makriv them one after the other. And since they were makriv them one after the other, could be that there's an avera between the first akrov and the second akrov. That's what the Gemara is going to analyze now. Nizrak domo shel rishon sheni lama karev. Rav Shimon in the Braisa was bewildered. You know, if you're telling me that the Zrikas Adam of Achatus is Machapa, why they bring a second Sawyer? Why does the Torah require a second Sawyer? And he answers, Al Tuma She'ora or Ira, we have Ora'a Bain Zel Zeh. You know, after they brought the first one, maybe there was another Avera that was done of Tumas Mikdash, because they had to bring a second one. And Bar Meatus, you might ask me, says Rav Shimon, Oy Bazoi, is Ruyim HaYisrael Akrav Kamer Seh B'chol Eisim B'chol Shah? If you're always afraid in the short interval between the first Karban and the first Akrav and the second that there was an Avera, then maybe we should be Makrav and Avera every hour of the day. And he says, Enochinami, that's what really we should be doing. El Shechisei HaKosuv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow wants to have a little bit of compassion as far as the Averis of Klal Yisrael, and he didn't obligate them to constantly bring this Karban Chatos for the sins of Tumas Mikdash Kadoshav, but the Torah set aside certain intervals. In any event, the bottom line is that we're talking about an Aver that was done between the first Karban and the second Karban. For Hacha, the essay li achra hafrosha kamachaper. Now this is very fascinating. The Gemara calls Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav an essay, and that's a pella because the Torah says in Parshas Bamidbar, it says lo yitavu es machneim, that a tummy is not allowed to go into the Mikdash, and that's a losas. So Rashi gives an answer that in the same parsha there's also an essay. It says v'yishlecho min hamachne, that he should be sent out of the machne. And that's a positive command. And on that positive command, we have what's called a violation of an essay if he enters into the Mikdash when he's tame. So on that essay, we're talking about an essay li achar hafrosh. In other words, again, the Gemara's premise is that before the atzeres, we went in and we were mafrish to se'irim. And the first sawyer is brought, let's say a time T1, and it covers all the averis of Tumas Mikdash Kadoshov. And now at time T2, we're going to bring the second sawyer lechatos, because in between T1 and T1, somebody entered into the Mikdash and violated the essay of Yishlechu Min HaMachne. Again, I'm not sure exactly, you have to go through all the material here as to why the Gemara focuses on the essay. Obviously, if he went into the Mikdash, he violates not just the essay of Yishlechu, but also the losaseh of Lo Yitamus Machaneim. But in any event, the word essay here is definitely appropriate. But it's an essay le'achar afrasha. And how do you know that he was mafrish, that they were mafrish both se'irim on Erev Pesach, I'm sorry, on Erev Shavuot, so that you can derive the conclusion that a karban is machaper, even if it's li'achar afrasha? Oh, I see. Now I understand why the Gemara is focused on the essay. I asked you before, since there's also a violation of lo yitamu, why did the Gemara emphasize the essay? The answer is because the Gemara wants to derive conclusions about a karban ola. So the overlap between an chatos and an ola is the essay. So in this case, Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav, in order to achieve kapara, you need kapara also on the essay. And here it's an essay that was li'achar afrasha. And the bottom line is, the Gemara at this point wants to derive the conclusion that karban is mechaper on an essay, even if the essay was omitted, was violated after the afrasha. So the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, "The iafreshinu bevasachas hachinami." You're assuming that there was one afresh for both seirim simultaneously, and therefore the seir, right? That since they were mafresh both of them bevasachas, therefore the second seir is going to be machaper for an essay liachar hafrosha. But that's not so. How come I askinon? What is the subject of Rabbi Shimon, Dafreshinon Bozacharze, makes more sense that we should separate the Hafrosh of these two Se'irim. And the Hafrosh of the second Sawyer will come a little bit later on down the line. And why would they do such a thing? In order to cover any sort of violation of an essay in between the first carbon and the second carbon. So it's not a case of an avera liachar afrasha. On the contrary, the afrasha was postponed in order to cover the avera between the two seirim. So the Gemara asks the following question: Veleku velemale lekra dechiksiva bazecher zeksiva. In other words, the Gemara is suggesting now that we could have just simply said that the Pasuk is talking about a case where they were mafrish bazecher zeh. Why were you forced to give the answer and say, well, you know, maybe they were mafrish at bazecher zeh? Why didn't you just answer that's the case that the Pasuk is referring to, where the Pasuk says that you bring two Se'irim lechatos on Chag HaShavuos for the Aveir of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshov? The Gemara is talking about, the Torah itself is talking about a case when he was Mafrish Bazecher Zeh. So the Gemara is not happy with that. Omer Av Papa, Karbonos Tzibur Ka'amrit. We're talking about a Karbon Tzibur that's being Mechaper for a Karbon Tzibur. I'm sorry, I made a mistake here. So the Gemara, just 1 second. So the Gemara rejects the proof. And the Gemara says that perhaps you could say that the Pasuk itself is talking about a case of Bozacher Zeh. V'chinita lahamid es hakosuv rak. So it's got to be also a case of Bozacher Zeh. And then the Chiyuv HaKrovah Shnei HaSeir Matzeres, it applies to all years, even if it was mafrish bevasachas. Oh, so the Gemara says that it cannot be that the case of the Torah is dafka a case where he was mafrish bazachar zeh, and that's what. No, the Torah has to address itself to all cases. And it's very possible that they were mafrish both of them bevasachas. If they're mafrish both of them bevasachas, then in fact we do have a proof that there is a kapara even liachar afrasha. Does everybody see just the mechanics of it? Again, if they were mafrish both seirim simultaneously, then how could the second sawyer be mechaper on an additional tumas migdosh with kadosha that took place after the first carbon is brought? It can only prove that there's such a thing as a kapara liachar afrasha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a case where they were mafrish both karbonos, bazechers. They were mafrish the karbonos, bazechers zeh. And really, there is no power of a karbon to be mechapel achar afrosha. So the Gemara rejects that and says, what do you mean they're talking about a case where he's mafrish bazechers zeh? The Torah has to cover all cases. The Torah never commits us or obligates us to be mafrish both karbonos, bazecher zeh. It could be that he was mafrish both karbonos bevasachas. And if he was mafrish both karbonos bevasachas, why are they bringing both karbonos? So to cover all our cases, we must assume that there is a power in the Ola, or in this case, the Chatas, to be mechapel liachar afrasha. Comes along Rav Pop and he says, no, you can't prove anything from the case of Seire Chatas Beatzeres. Why? Because that's a case of a Karbon Tzibur Ka'amrit. The shiny Karbonos Tzibur, the Lev Bezdin Kamasne Alein. Oh, now we have a principle called Lev Bezdin Masne Alein. Have we discussed this in the past? No. So what's Lev Bezdin Masne Alein? The Kohanim are always considered subservient, if I can use that word, to the Bezdin. Bezdin will give them the mandate as to whether or not, you know, their actions will be chal, or in this case, whether it'll be chal immediately or they'll be chal later on. So Rav Papa says the following, that even if the Kohanim went ahead and they were mafrish both Seirim Bevasachas, which was the basis of your proof that a Chatos could be mechaper even Liachar Afrasha, Beis Din is going to step in and they're going to make a Tanai. And their Tanai is that although the Maisa Afrasha, the designation of the Korban, was done at time T1, they're going to hold it up. And they're going to say that Hafrash is only going to be Chal later on, close to the time that we'll bring the Korban, in order to allow for a Kapar to cover additional violations of Tumas Migdash between the first Hakrov and the second Hakrov. So what was your point? Your point was that the Torah is talking about all cases, and that would include even the case where they were Mafresh both Seirim Vasacha simultaneously, says Rav Papa, even if they went ahead and they were Mafresh both Seirim simultaneously, nevertheless, the Hafrash of the second Sayer would only be Chal later on, samuch lehakrova, in order to cover the period in between the two. So basically at this point we have no proof to this magical possibility that the Ola could be machaper even for Averis Liachar Afrasha. So the Gemara says, now I want to give you a classical case, and with this we'll conclude for today, of Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem, that Bezdin has the suit, has the dominion to decide and determine the chalos of the korban. Ki Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. What's Rabbi Yehuda? The name of Shmuel. Korbanos Tzibur. Sachin. Sachin means the knife, or what we say shchita. Moshachton lemashehen. In other words, at the moment of shchita, the shame of the korban is determined. The halacha is, let me explain, that Aleph Nisan, is a very important day in the Beis HaMikdash, as far as Kodshim is concerned. Because the korbanos tzibur have to be brought from Trumas HaLishka. There was a separate treasury for the monies that were contributed by Klal Yisrael for Korbanos Tzibur, and that's called the Trumas HaLishka. And every year we need an annual contribution for the Korbanos of that year. When does the year end? That's on Aleph Nisan. So that any monies that were collected in the Trumas HaLishka up till Aleph Nisan can be used for Korbanos Tzibur. But after Aleph Nisan, any Korbanos Tzibur that are going to be brought, we need to gather together contributions for the Trumas HaLishka from start. And the whole Mishnais and Shkolim as to what we do with leftover monies from last year. Okay? But that's not for us. So now we need to take the monies from before Aleph Nisan and use them to buy Korbanos Tzibur that are brought before Aleph Nisan.
This was all for the Malchus Hasidus Shekel, wasn't it? And that was connected on the first of Adar. So it all came in just in that month. So
no, the collection for the first of Adar was for the new year, for the next year.
Was it?
Correct. That was for the next year. So every Rosh Chodesh Adar, they announced the collection, and that collection had to be for the next year. So now let's get back to our case of Shmuel. Okay, I'm going to just read to you a summary of Rashi. Rashi says, Im lachu kodem echad v'nisan kvasim. Okay, we have the mitzvah of kivsei atzeres, which is a korban shlomim. Or, for example, the kvasim that were brought on a daily basis the whole year round as a korban tamid, that's a korban ola. And they're taken from and purchased from the mos, from the monies that were collected from last year's truma, that's called truma yeshana, that were collected before Aleph Nisan. Now we pass Aleph Nisan. Harehem kravim leketz hamizbeach. Okay. Did we discuss ketz hamizbeach? Okay. I think we did. But anyway, ketz hamizbeach means that when there's leftover monies and you have to use it for a korban, so we wait until a period of time where there are no korbanos. You know, the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach was pretty busy, but there were little intervals where they were, you know, between the Tom Shel Shach and Tom Shel Ben Arbayim, where they brought all the korbanos, and now they don't want to keep the Mizbeach empty, right? Free from work. So what they did was they dug into the Ketz the Ketz HaMizbeach, and what they did is from this money, these monies in the Ketz HaMizbeach, they would buy an olas nedava, and the olas nedava was purchased on behalf of the entire tzibur. Okay, now you couldn't use the keitz hamizbeach, which was last year's money, for the sake of the karban tamid. If the karban tamid is being brought from Aleph Nisan and on, what you're going to have to do with the keitz hamizbeach, the extra leftover mos, is you're going to have to bring an ola, which is called an olas nedava, and it's a karban tzibur. Then he says the following: Afil shekvar hukdushu l'shem tamid, even though they designated these monies for a tamid, and now what happened is that they don't need these monies for a tamid. So what are we going to do here? We're in a sort of a bind, because if the monies were earmarked for a carbon tamid and we don't need them for a carbon tamid, can we sort of change the direction of these mos, undermine their original designation, and use them now for a carbon ola? And that's a problem. So says Shmuel, the solution to that problem is called Lev Bezdin Masnalin. That means Bezdin made a tnai, a condition. And they said the following: you're designating this money for a carbon tamid. However, that carbon is binding if and when you need it for a carbon tamid. But if it can't be used for a carbon tamid and it turns out to be surplus money, then we're making condition that it's going to be designated for an olas nedava, and then it becomes keitz hamizbeach. Comes along Shmuel and he says, sakin moshachton lemashahin, that the only time that Lev Bezdin Masna Lem could work, could operate, is up until the time of Shechita. So if these mos were designated for a carbon tamid, and up until the Shechita they could be used for a carbon tamid, then that's fine. Then we'll use them for a carbon tamid. But let's say they went ahead and they shechted the animal, and at that time the monies were not roy for a carbon tamid. So at that point we have to redesignate the mos and activate the principle of Lev Bezdin Masna and make it into a designation for a carbon olas nedava. So what we see clearly is that according to Shmuel, the critical moment until which, but not beyond, Lev Bezdin Masna could operate is the moment of Shechita, and that applies to what kind of a carbon? A carbon tzibur. So we go back now to Rav Papa's original statement. Rav Papa wants to say that, you know, you don't have any proof from Seire Atzeres, because even if you're right that the Kohanim were makdish both Seire and Vasacha simultaneously, which means that they were covering they were offering a kapara for a chait that was liachar afrasha. No, Lev Bezdin Masna lehim. Up until the moment of Shechita, Bezdin has the right to redirect the karmon. And in this case, what Bezdin is going to do through Lev Bezdin Masna is they're going to redirect the afrasha. They're going to keep it suspended in midair until the latest possible moment. And at that moment, they're going to be makruv the carbon, then its designation as a soil lechatos will be clinched. And therefore, if there was a chet in between the first hakrova and the second afrasha, because the second afrasha is only going to be chal later on through the power and the intervention of lepes and maxne, then the second chatos will be mechaper on the avera of tumas mikdash for kadosha that was subsequent to the first. To the first Sa'ir Lechat. So it comes out at this point, as we stop for the day, that the Gemara has no proof of this magic that a carbon ola can be machaper even on a chait, or even on an essay, li'achar afrash. Okay then? We'll stop here.
Thank you.